Today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to be listening to a teaching by Dutch Sheets. He's busy speaking about God being a dreamer and giving us a better understanding of what that means, knowing that we are made in the image of God. So within all of us, there's the God-given capacity to be able to dream. We've been looking at what it is to be children of light, what it is to be able to walk as children of light, and also the emphasis lately has been to find out what pleases God. And we have spent a bit of time to identify with certain things that capture God's dream within us, that which God has purposed for our lives. We are born in sin, so as we looked at previously, there's sin, there's transgression, there's iniquity. These are the things that capture our God-given purpose. They've been captured by sin, by the power of sin, self, etc. And so this is a reality that you and I face. We've been looking at the reality that God has written in his book. All the days of our lives have been written down by God and carries on, and his thoughts are far too marvelous for us to even comprehend. So we know that just the mind of God is impossible for us to comprehend. The thoughts that God has for our lives, God's dream for you and I, is so, so big. And so God has put his dream into us by the Holy Spirit. When we are born, a God-given dream is within us. But as we realize, sin captures that dream, and we find Dutch Sheets calls it the dream stealer all the time, how the enemy wants to steal our dreams. Now, I believe this is very relevant for us right now, because there's a stirring of God within us as believers, as his family, where we are realizing there that there's more to our lives than what we are currently living right now. We are becoming very conscious what's captured the God dream within us. And Dutch Sheets will explain more of that as we go on. But what is captured for many, the company that one works in has captured our identity, has captured our dream. And so we're at that place where we know that frustration, and this message is for you, because God wants to give you a way to be able to receive his incredible dream and to walk in the grace for that to unfold. For some have been captured by trauma or by pain or by past events, and particularly disappointment. Many times the shattered dream syndrome, where we've had hoped, we've had dreams for our future, we've had dreams for our family, dreams for, you know, our town, a marriage, whatever it may be, and it has been shattered one way or the other because of the reality of sin, and also because we see how Satan controls, and he uses whatever he can use to capture God's dream within us. So that's what we've been dealing with. And so a scripture I want to just give to you this morning before we're listening to Dutch is that one in Philippians 2 and verse 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to in order to fulfill his good purpose. So first of all, we notice over here that it's important that when God speaks to you and I by the Holy Spirit, remember, this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God concerning you and I. That's why in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you and I according to the will of God. Okay, that's the plan that God has for you and I. The Holy Spirit is interceding so that that becomes a reality. It gets made known to you and I. The Holy Spirit, Paul writes there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says over there, who knows the thoughts of a man except a man's spirit within him? Likewise, Who knows the thoughts of God except God's Holy Spirit? And so the Holy Spirit communicates to our spirit the very deep things, the very thoughts, the plans that God has for you and I. So it's important for you and I to become conscious of the ministry of Holy Spirit, the person Holy Spirit, knowing His involvement in our lives, knowing the Holy Spirit's nature, character, knowing the Holy Spirit's way of working, taking from Jesus, making it known, so that we have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit, Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit, is He will guide us into all truth. And truth, remember, is God's reality. So we may be living our lives thinking that this is a dream, thinking that this is life. But the Holy Spirit is the one to take us into true reality of what God has for you and I. And so we read over here, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to fulfill His good purpose. So God takes the initiative. By the Holy Spirit, God makes known to you and I His will. Now, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and I, we need to receive that by faith. Because we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So we receive what the Holy Spirit is sharing with us, and now we begin to appropriate that. We let that become established. We do what we need to do in researching, getting better understanding, and then start to live it out step by step as we understand the anointing of the Holy Spirit, how to live in the grace of God, and how to experience the power of the Holy Spirit bringing about the reality as we simply listen to the Holy Spirit and respond to Him. That's the fear and trembling part, where we honor God tremendously, we listen to the Holy Spirit, and we obey the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's God who works. So God takes the initiative by the Holy Spirit to share with you and I what His purpose is over there and to fill His good purpose. Now, that's an important part, because if we have a revelation of the goodness of God, then we say, yes, God, I want what You have written for my life, because it's going to be pretty good, far beyond my ability. And I want to step into Your goodness. Just look at God's mind in creation, and you just see how big God is. In His thoughts, His plans for you and I is far greater than our own plans that we make for ourselves. So God has put a dream in us. Sin has tried to capture that. Satan tries to capture that, but the blood of Jesus Christ has come, and He's given His life so that once again, that which God has written, you and I, through the blood of Christ, can now begin to live in the power of the Holy Spirit as a new creation in Christ to fulfill God's dream. And that brings us great, great joy. And that's what life's all about. That's the abundant life that God has for you and I. And Jesus has come to give us that abundant life. So let's listen to Dutch as he shares with us.
God is a dreamer, and some of you, you've heard me, you've read some of the posts, probably some of you have read my book on dreams, not night dreams, but hopes and dreams. I wrote a book called Dream, and I haven't applied it so much to God as I have us, teaching people the importance of them dreaming and allowing God to give them His vision and heart for whatever. But today I felt like bringing a word about that and turning it toward Him. So let's start by just saying God really is a dreamer. When He first began speaking to me along these lines, it was frankly surprising to me. I went on a prayer retreat just with myself and God several years ago, and during the week, actually the first part of the week, Cece had handed me a DVD on my way out the door. And said, I feel like the Lord wants you to watch this while you're gone. A movie called The Ultimate Gift. And in this movie, a very wealthy man worth billions of dollars was trying to decide. He was dying with cancer, and he was trying to decide where to leave his money. And he realized that most of his family members were just not fit for it. They would waste it. But he did have one grandson that he felt like could handle the money and would do a good job, but not in his current condition. So this man videoed 10, I think it was, 10 clips to be shown to this young man after his death. Each video was a test. If he passed all the tests, he got the money. Excuse me. He agreed to do it, not because he had any respect for his grandfather or the situation. He agreed to do it because he wanted the money. But the tests were designed to change him. Very challenging tests, very thought out. And so over a period of time, every so often, he would watch another one after he passed the previous one. And then he would go to work on that. Well, by the time he had made it through two or three or four of these, he was beginning to change. And but by the time he got toward the end, he was now, this of course took months. This was not a day or two at a time, each test. This was a year or so of his life, maybe longer. But by the time he got toward the end, his grandfather, through the video, said to him, "If you're still watching this, that means you have passed the test and you're becoming the man you need to be." So this so impacted me that it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to talk about it, but he looked at me and said, "Now it's time for you to learn to dream." And I was blown away. I thought, a test of dreaming, learning to dream. And if you haven't watched it, do yourself a favor and watch The Ultimate Gift. But as I spent time with the Lord that week, I, of course, was just asking the Lord, you know, why did you want me to watch this? And what are you trying to say to me? And spent many, many hours just thinking, praying, walking, sitting in front of the fire, sitting by a stream, Colorado, just thinking, talking to God in my heart. And one day toward the end, he said to me, "Get your notepad. I want you to dream for a while." And it was a meaningful day. I wrote down dreams, processed about myself, my family, my kids, my future grandkids, the calling God had for me, ultimately it got to the nation. What would I dream for America? Maybe I shouldn't have tried this. I'm moving into a very deep part of who I am. This is what I live for. But he surprised me, you know, after this time of dreaming, he surprised me. He said, "Now I want you to listen to me dream for a while." And that's probably the first time in my life that I had ever thought of God as a dreamer. I didn't really know at first whether or not to believe that, to believe this was really the Lord. Is this just me conjuring this up? I mean, God's not a dreamer, he's just a doer. The more I thought about it, and the more I thought about what dreams are, they are hopes for the future. They are plans. what we have imagined and planned and hoped for in the future, yet unfulfilled, their dreams. And I realized he is a dreamer. And so I listened with my thoughts. It's not like God came in the room and spoke audibly to me for an hour or two. Thoughts just began to flow into me about the world, the nation, the harvest, people, things that were so off that needed to be corrected and healed. And so I listened, and I felt like that day the Lord took me to a deeper place with Him. Since that time, I've done much thinking. I wrote a book about dreaming with God. And it's just changed my life, my journey. God, being the Almighty that He is, the Creator that He is, could have pretty much anything He wanted. I don't know what kind of toys He has out there, but I imagine they're pretty incredible. But the one thing He didn't have was family. It's just Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Had lots of angels, billions maybe. Had anything He wanted, all the servants He needed. But He didn't have family. So in Genesis, He set out to create His dream. First, He worked on our home. For 6 days, He made this incredible planet what it is. Nature. The laws of nature. The beauty of nature, the provision from nature, the trees, the plants, the rain, the sky, the lights, the moon. He got it all ready in 6 days, and on the sixth day, He created us. This was different. Rather than speaking into existence what He was doing, He came to earth and with His own hands began to shape a different creation. The more that He worked, the more the angels probably were shocked, realizing He was making an image of Himself. When He finished that, He breathed into them His very life, His spirit, His nature. And a part of that was His dreaming nature. The ability to imagine, the ability to think, to plan. It's a part of our DNA. It's a part of who we are. We can't help it. He put His dreaming nature inside of us. Whether it's a small child dreaming of being like mom and dad, a teenager fantasizing about changing the world, or an adult planning their future, we are all dreamers. We just don't think about it that way. Some internal force compels us to think about the future. Tonight's get together, the trip we're planning next week, the expansion. Regardless of the theme, we are wired to do this. We are always thinking about our tomorrows. We can't help it. Our nature came from Him. And our nature is to dream. Our Creator is a dreamer, and He placed within us His dreaming nature. Made in His image and likeness, we cannot simply function like angels or animals, which do not dream. Angels do as they're told. Animals act based on instinct or mimic their parents. Even animals that seem to think ahead, hoarding food for the winter, building a home, flying south for the winter, they are not planning, they are instincting. On the other hand, when we do those sorts of things, we are releasing our godlike nature. We are planning, we are imagining, envisioning the future. This means the animal world has strict preset limitations as to what they can and cannot become or do. Not us. Through the power of imagination and creativity, God has gifted humans with almost unlimited ability and potential. Everything you see around you came from the dirt under Adam's feet and the plants around him and the laws in the atmosphere and on the planet. He didn't know there was an airplane under his feet. We manage, we steward the earth, its resources. We grow and maximize our gifts and talents, shaping and molding our futures. We build and invent by discovering, harnessing, utilizing the laws of physics and science. We mass produce materials and reshape Earth's elements into steel, concrete, rubber, other usable products. We do this through dreaming. Someone imagines and thinks about it, comes up with an idea, and it unlocks creativity in them. It surprised me when I found out that the words to create and the word for dream or imagine or plan are the same Hebrew word. Adam yetzered, and then he yatsared. That's the way He made us. We dream, we plan, we imagine. We look into the future and we see it. That releases creative power in us and we produce it. That's the way He made you. I love the story of Monty Roberts. Monty Roberts was the son of an itinerant horse trainer who worked hard training horses at farms, stables, ranches. His high school career was continually interrupted because of this. As a senior, he was asked to write a paper describing his goal, what he wanted to do when he grew up. Monty wrote a lengthy paper describing his goal of one day owning a magnificent horse ranch. He drew a diagram of the 200-acre dream ranch, detailing the location of the buildings, stables, track, 4,000-square-foot house. Put all of his heart into this project. A few days later, Monty received the paper back from his teacher with a large red F. Upon being asked the reason, the teacher responded, "This is an unrealistic dream for a boy like you. You have no resources, money. You have to buy the land, breeding stock, pay stud fees, among other things. There is no way you could ever do this If you will rewrite the paper with a more realistic goal, I'll reconsider your grade. Monty thought about it for a week. Finally, he turned in the same paper, making no changes at all, and informed his dream-stealing teacher, "You can keep the F. I'll keep my dream." He now owns that 200-acre ranch and has his high school paper framed over the fireplace. There was a dream stealer in God's garden. His plan. He determined to interrupt God's dream of family. And he succeeded temporarily taking the family and authority over their home, the earth. God, of course, made an announcement immediately. I'm going to paraphrase it, but he said, "I'm going to have my dream. And I'm going to deal with the dream stealer. I'm going to crush his headship, and I'm going to redeem my family." And so he sent his son to recapture the dream. He incarnated himself. The dream was important enough. The dream for family was important enough that he was willing to become one of them to make them once again part of him. So he joined himself with the human race. And Jesus the dreamer made an announcement in Matthew 16. "I'll build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it." Build, as many of you know, is the word family. It's not a word that means just to build a structure. It's oikos, oikotomeo. It means to create a lineage, to build a household or family. Jesus said, I will build. I will establish my family again. I've come to get the family back. I've come to rescue the dream. And then he said, "There'll be my ecclesia." He wasn't starting over. He wasn't coming up with a new plan. He was restoring. He was redeeming. He was reviving. When he called us an ecclesia, saying, you'll be my legislative governmental branch, the governmental branch of my kingdom here on earth, he was saying, "I'm going to restore what was lost in Genesis. I'm going to fix the dream. I'm going to grab my family and pull them back into my bosom. I'm going to break the curse of sin and hell and destruction off of them. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to fill them with my nature, my breath again. They will have my life. They'll be able to think with me again. They'll be able to dream with me again. They will think my thoughts. They will have my very spirit in them, thinking through them. I'm going to restore it all. And I'm also restoring dominion to them. They are my ecclesia. They will deliver others. They will represent me. They will represent my authority in my name. They will heal. They will deliver. They will bind and loose. They will redeem the earth for me. They will be my voice on the planet. They will be my hands and feet. They will be my extension on this colony of the kingdom called earth, just as I intended from the beginning, because the dream stealer will never outwit me. He will never overpower me. He will never permanently displace me. He will never overcome me, and he will never overcome my dream. He will never have my family. Jesus established all of this. And he's been working towards something for 2,000 years. He's been working the dream. Big family. Strong family. A worthy bride without spot or wrinkle. Fully able to represent him. Understanding his ways. Carrying his heart. Releasing his life. He's been working on this for 2,000 years. Building what he described in Matthew 16. He is fully capable of doing what he said. He will not fail and have a weak, anemic, spineless, defeated, overcome group of people that just hang on and hang on and hang on. And when his mission to create a powerful, spirit-filled, strong representation in the earth, when that mission is really, has really failed, he'll just come and rescue them. This will not happen. He has been building his dream. He has been taking us from glory to glory. He has been bringing forth truth upon truth. He's been restoring him, his gifts. He's been restoring revelation. Come on up, Rachel. Let's pray. Stand with me if you would, please. Father, you are the great dreamer. And I say to those listening to me now, what you said to me through a movie, I want to teach you how to dream. I want to teach you how to dream with me. I want to give you my dreams, my hopes and plans, and what I have envisioned for the future. I pray, Lord, for your people around the world who are standing in this hour. Those who have bought into the harvest. Those who believe the outpouring is coming. Those who believe you have a plan that the dream stealer will not win. And that your victory is not just defined. It's not defined by rescuing an anemic people. Your dream is defined by an incredible, the largest ever, amazing harvest around the world. And while dictators and evil people plot against you, we ask you, Almighty God, for Psalm 2. We decree it with you. That you have anointed your son and given him the nations of the earth. You spoke over those that plan against you and rage against you. And you said you have two choices. You will either kiss the son or you will receive the rod of my punishment. And Lord, we dare to prophesy that this is the hour and this is the day and this is the season in time. For the greatest manifestation of that in history, that the rod of your authority is going to be released as never before, and yet your love and your kiss will be released as never before. And that every stronghold and every system that opposes you will fail. And the dream stealer will not win. The church will be built. The family will be restored and gathered to you. This will be a family that understands the authority of the name of Jesus. This will be a family that understands the kingdom and the authority of the kingdom and how to bind and loose, stop demonic powers. This will be a family that preaches with power. This will be a family that heals. This will be a family that builds. This will be a dreaming family, dreaming the dream of heaven. This family will be unstoppable. The evil one will not succeed. The harvest is ripe and will be reaped. Personal deliverances and corporate deliverance will come. Fire will fall. And the kingdom will expand. We decree this in your holy name. Amen.